Send a movie idea.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Hello, and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. The rules here are very simple. We can take as many of your film ideas as we like, but only one of them will progress to the next stage, where it will be printed onto tissue paper and used to help wipe the nose of Britain's poorliest man. I'm Joel, the man who puts the ick into Vicks Vapor Rub, and across from me is John Harris, a man who, despite battling a very, very serious illness, has made it here to record Dream Factory. It's remarkable bravery, John.
I mean,
do they still do Pride of Britain awards?
I was literally just going to say Pride of Britain.
My mate, have I ever said, have I told this story? There are no stories left.
You'd
but
think.
My good friend Chris won a Pride of Medway award once.
No way.
His neighbour's house was on fire, but his neighbour wasn't home. And he just said to his neighbour, she was an elderly lady, "Don't go in there, it's on fire." And his younger brothers were nearby on BMXs. And the local newspaper reported it as though he sort of broke in and dragged her out of the flaming house. And it had a picture of him and his two brothers on the front page of the Medway Messenger with the headline, "The Three Amigos." And he had to go to a big award ceremony and wear a suit. And he got presented it by the whoever was like the primetime newsreader on BBC Southeast.
I can't believe that's never come up.
Yeah, that's weird, isn't it? And then Chris and I went to the same university for a year, and I carried around a copy of that newspaper everywhere we went. It's good, isn't it? I just get it out in lectures and stuff. It was a good bit.
You should have pretended you didn't know who he was and asked him to sign it.
It sort of speaks to our differing personalities, because I would dine out on that. Like, that would be my Twitter profile picture. I would bring it up at every opportunity. I'd have a framed copy of that newspaper in my home in at least two rooms. Like, I would give anything to have been one of the Three Amigos. But sadly.
Have you ever been photographed for a local newspaper?
I'm not sure I have. Which suggests to me you have.
When I was a teenager, I was in a band, and we got to the national finals of a Battle of the Bands competition.
Wow. What was the competition called? What was the band called?
So we were called Self-Titled at the time, I believe.
Brilliant.
And it was called the Liquid Disco Battle of the Bands or something like that.
Whoa.
When we got to the final, we did three rounds to get to the final, and then when we got to the final, found out loads of other people. See, it was like their second round. They just did one round and got to the final. Like,
yeah, but you were probably in a more densely musical area.
Yeah, true.
Yeah. Where was the final? I can't believe there's two original anecdotes at the start of this podcast. You and I have been doing podcasts since 2014, and we're actually learning fresh information about each other today. This is very exciting. What was the standard like at the finals? Was it intimidating?
No, I don't think I ever... It wasn't like I was... I didn't really feel like I was in competition with the other bands. I didn't think we were going to win.
Because you were that good.
No, we didn't think we were going to win. It was in Nottingham. The level of competition was fine. There was one other band that we saw that then I saw playing like at Reading Festival on the BBC introducing stage a couple of years later. And I thought, they've done better than
cool.
we have.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I remember my the guitar, our guitarist, his pedal wasn't working. So he went to a local guitar shop and he went to get a new pedal. And whilst he was there, he mentioned that this was happening. And the guy behind the counter was like, oh yeah, I did that a couple of years ago. It's a complete scam. It's just a total, the whole thing's a complete scam.
And great. I was like, real great, confidence booster.
Looking forward to playing today.
Yeah, I was on the cover of Enemy once, complete scam. Yeah, and then we played the Pyramid stage at Glastonbury, complete scam. I've got four gold records up in my house, scam, scam after scam after
gold.
Scam. We won, do you know what, Mercury Prize, scam.
The other,
it's just a way to get Mercury into people's home. No, is it? Is the Mercury Prize, is it Freddie Mercury or is it the now defunct Mercury FM?
Who knows? The thing I was going to say about local news photography is there are two things that a local news photographer will make you do. One is like look disappointed, holding an object that is relevant to the article. And the other one, if it's good news, like we had, you jump. They make you jump.
You did a jump. Do you have it somewhere still?
I don't think so.
You must have it. Did you have to jump holding your instruments?
Yes.
Not the drummer, obviously. He probably just had the sticks in his hand.
Yeah, I think we jumped off a bench.
Oh, with your guitars?
Yeah.
Oh, that's because that's what all the cool rock bands do, isn't it? Some of my favourite album covers are bands jumping off a park bench in joy, hands in the air.
Yeah, I mean, even at the time, man, we knew so it was good. Really naff.
I mean, who are you to say no to a local newspaper photographer, you know?
Exactly. The power they yield.
Way. Yeah, exactly. You got, they say jump, you say... Off which bench?
Off which bench?
Right. Let's do some film ideas. That was the most enjoyable start to an episode ever. How about this one from Tony? Just a reminder that we are a podcast where people pitch us film ideas. Please send your ideas in. We're a Dream Factory pod across all social medias. Or you can find John's details in the Bucks Messenger, whatever your local newspaper is.
Bucks Free Press.
The Bucks Free Press. How about this one from Tony? Putter Island. Leonardo DiCaprio investigates his missing partner at a crazy golf.
Excellent.
That's good because there's pitfalls and pratfalls at a crazy golf galore. She might have fallen, what are the ones? Fallen into a lighthouse. Maybe a big clown mouth ate her. Maybe she went into a hole and then never appeared out of another one.
Little seesaw. Yeah, why can't I think of any generic
I feel like
crazy
I know all of
thing.
Them, but now I can't think of, it's just a lighthouse. No, it's not a lighthouse, it's a windmill. The lighthouse would be rubbish. It's so easy. It's not really an obstacle.
Is it like a crocodile thingy? Is that chopping?
You might see a croc. The problem is, crazy golf these days, it's all neon and indoors, isn't it?
Yes. We went to, a little while back now, we went to, what's the one in Shoreditch?
Junkyard Golf.
We went to Junkyard, yeah.
Mm.
And I don't seem to remember who won, but it wasn't you.
It was me. It's probably me. The local news photographer came to, because I got the record score at Junkyard Golf. He came to take a photo of me.
Joe jumped off the roof.
I jumped off the roof.
It's pretty nuts, actually.
But look, local press photographer asked me to do it. I'm going to do it. Yeah, so isn't the thing at Shutter Island that Leonardo DiCaprio realizes, because it's set in an asylum.
Yes.
Leonardo DiCaprio realizes that he's a patient. Does he realise, or we find out he's a patient, or is he? You're really raising your eyebrows as if to say, Joel, there's more going on than you've taken away from that film.
No, I just think, I don't know, what's the statute of limitations on spoilers for
spoilers?
A film? Yeah.
Well, if you don't like spoilers, you better shutter your ears, Island, because I've just ruined the film. Leonardo DiCaprio goes to investigate the murder of his wife, missing wife, and he is like a grizzled detective investigating the case. And that's how you spend kind of the whole film. Some haunting flashbacks throughout, I'd suggest. And then at the end, it turns out that maybe this is just a game they play with him to keep him entertained, to help his grieving. And, you know, he's actually also an inpatient on the island. But imagine that, but it's crazy golf. putting the crazy into crazy golf.
Fucking hell.
Leonardo DiCaprio is a patient at a crazy golf.
Are you okay, Joe? That's why you're starting the pitch again. Listeners will be going, did it skip?
Hello, and welcome to the Dream Factory, the world's greatest user-generated movie creation podcast. Leonardo DiCaprio, Shutter goes golf, Shutter Island plays Asylum. How about this one from John?
This one's from Beck. Egg 2, The Stench.
Egg 2. Okay. So I'm guessing it's the same egg from Egg 1 and it's been left to decompose.
Well, no, it's not Egg 1.
It's gone bad.
No,
it would just be Egg.
No, it's the egg. It's the egg. Mm. Weirdly, if we're following the Meg naming conventions, it goes from the Meg to Meg 2.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, it's the Meg, the first one, and the second one's Meg 2.
So in the first one, it's the Meg.
Yeah.
And in the second one, it's just some Meg. It's just a Meg. But in the first one, spoilers are coming. So you better shut up those ears. In the first one, do they kill the Meg?
As far as I believe, they do, but it's basically discovered that this trench is full of old prehistoric creatures.
I don't remember that.
Well, no, I think that's the plot of the Meg 2.
Oh, the plot of the sequel. I haven't seen the Meg 2, which is getting panned left, right and centre. But with every panning, it just drags me closer to the multiplex.
It's directed by indie darling Ben Wheatley.
I know, but Wheatley's off the boil. We can say that.
Yeah.
I've been looking at Wheatley's IMDb recently. Wheatley's off the boil. Here's the thing about the Meg 2, the trench. I'll get to the egg 2. Don't worry, Beck. I will get to the egg 2. If the Meg was released to middling reviews, I would have absolutely zero interest in watching it.
Mm.
Whereas 1 star or 12 stars, it's the 12 star rating, I'm going to go and watch it. Like a 1 star Meg is more appealing to me than a 5 star out of 10 star Meg. Are you following?
Yeah, just about.
I'm having a bad time. I'm having a time really understanding what's going on today.
Yeah.
We're recording these later than we normally do. I'm kind of overwhelmed by the sense that we've got to record another one after this because you're going on holiday. And I think that's constantly playing in the back of my mind.
It's all right, Joel. We'll get through it.
So there's an old egg.
I think the interesting thing is the idea that this is a sequel to The Egg, but I assume the fact that it's called Egg to the Stench would suggest that in the first film, it didn't smell. Whatever.
No, of course not, because
it's
a fresh
had.
Egg. Is it a huge egg?
Yeah. Without even asking, my brain imagined a giant prehistoric egg.
Yeah. Oh, really? Mine's a chicken egg, but it is also massive. And at the end, they scramble it up and everyone eats it and they say, haha, we killed the egg. But what happens in the egg, in egg two, is that they realize there's just a trench full of these eggs.
Oh yeah. And they're all out of date.
And they're all out of date and they really smell bad. And Jason Statham's been transferred from Aqua. No, because it would have been eggs still. So Jason Statham, instead of working, I assume in, I've seen the Meg, but I can't remember anything. I assume he works for sort of FBI, but on the sea. And in this, he works for the Farm Bureau of Investigation.
The FBI?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, wow.
And he's investigating some bad smelling eggs.
And that, I mean, that's fine. Who wants these stinky eggs out in the
world? Who wants to poison the eggs? I reckon it's, I reckon it's the guys at Big Aquafaba.
Yes. Bad reputation for the eggs.
They want to get eggs out of the picture, out of supermarkets, replaced by the delicious chickpea water alternative.
Because an egg is sort of, the smell of an egg is sort of tiptoeing around bad. Like it's
do you think at all times?
Well, it's sort of like
I couldn't tell you. I think you could hold a cracked egg under my nose and I wouldn't know it was there.
I mean, like a boiled egg.
Obviously in this experiment I'm blindfolded.
I mean like a boiled egg.
Oh yeah. Yeah. A boiled egg is.
So I think
right.
like
is
like
this a giant, is the egg boiled in your mind?
No, but
in
I'm
the
just
egg
think,
too.
I'm just thinking like if these eggs were sufficiently large and sufficiently rotten, I do think it would put a lot of people off eggs. Like I think a smell of a really rotten egg would put me off eggs for a brief period of time. So I just think if they're big enough and the whole world smells them, then yeah, I do think we're all going to move to chickpea juice.
People online talk about chicken fear. People online talk about deep state. And I'm going to turn this into a Joe Rogan podcast. This is the day we pivot. No, people online talk about chicken fear. Have you heard of this?
No.
And I think it's when you eat chicken, it's kind of, it is cooked.
Can I just say, I know that this isn't it, but I like to think that you inherit the fears of the chicken.
You do. You like, see you're that terrified of machete foxes. Coming down. Foxy. Someone making your eggs smell bad. You're afraid of all that kind of stuff. No, you eat chicken that is, it's okay to eat, but it was maybe a little bit,
Oh, okay.
And it makes you scared of chicken for a while. And I think people get like chicken paranoia because obviously eating uncooked chicken is bad news.
I didn't say that, but I just, when you said chicken paranoia, I thought that would be a fun thing to say. And it really was. I'm glad I said it.
Chicken paranoia. Yeah. And I think you approach chicken for a period of 3 to 6 months afterwards with an air of trepidation, or it might put you off chicken altogether.
One time when I was living in France, my grandmother gave me like half a kilo of pâté, or maybe even like a kilo, a lot of pâté.
And it was still clucking.
No, I don't think it was chicken. And I got back to the apartment I was living in, and I, for dinner, I basically just had all that pâté in a baguette. And for about a year after, I could not look at pâté.
Oh, wow.
It really turned me.
Yeah,
too much of a good
thing,
that's
because
right?
You'd eaten a year's worth of pâté. Your body, you literally couldn't put any more pâté in. Win a year's supply of pâté.
Right, what about this one from Stu? One glue over the cuckoo's nest. Joel is driven mad trying to find the glue tube in Liverpool Street and starts to panic when he realises no one else has ever heard of it.
Well, here's the thing. I know no one else has ever heard of it because it isn't... If you go on TripAdvisor, and even if you go on TripAdvisor and, you know, narrow it down from London to Liverpool Street, it's not going to be listed in the top 10. They've got a big M&S. The glue tube's got no hope of being listed in the top 10. So I'm fully aware that no one's heard of it, but I am increasingly worried about whether or not it could be there. I keep thinking back to recent bad weather. I've been saying to myself, it's rained every day in London for 8 days, Joel. That might be the end
of the
super glue tube. But good news, listeners. I'm going to be in Liverpool Street on Friday. Come and find me. And I will be hunting down that glue tube. I'm going to go and make a pilgrimage. I'm going to film a little video
of
whether or not the glue tube's there. And I did say earlier, we're recording a double header here. So on next week's podcast, I won't reveal whether I've seen the glue tube or not. You can either wait a week. Maybe I'll send a little voice note in. Basically, if we're going to find out in the next few days whether the glue tube's there or not. I have wondered if I'll just buy a super glue and stamp it into the ground if it's not there.
So the video you're making, are you going to put it on TikTok or are you going to put it on glue tube?
I'm going to put it on glue tube. No, I'm going to put it on TikTok. Or Pritter.
Fritter's bad. Right.
Fritter is bad. Right.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Would you like one from me?
Hit me with your best shot.
Here's one from me. Wicked, wicked. It's the Wizard of Oz, but Ali G goes there.
That is incredible.
Isn't that great?
Wait, that's not from you, is it?
That's from me.
Oh, what a great... That's brilliant.
Yeah, thanks,
well
man.
I didn't believe you.
I'm really pleased.
I didn't know you had it in you.
I know, I'm really pleased with that. Real pat on the back stuff here. It's wicked, wicked. It's Ali G. It might even be a musical version, I'm not sure. But I reckon him and the stupid car that he drives in, Ellie G and the house, are just cruising down the yellow brick road, and he slowly fills the car up with a cowardly lion and a tin man.
Ah, I'm trying to think what happens in that film. They find out the Wizard of Oz is fake.
Mm-hmm.
And then do they just find out?
That's a good point. That's a massively iconic Touchstone movie. I've seen it. My knowledge of the plot is Dorothy, there's a hurricane which takes Dorothy to the Land of Oz. There's some munchkins that do a song. I think that song is Follow, 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 Follow the Yellow Brick Road. She walks down a yellow brick road. En route, she bumps into a cowardly lion. I mean, I've said I know the entire plot. She bumps into a cowardly lion, a tin man.
Yeah.
Is there a third?
Scarecrow.
Oh, yeah.
So
the Crow Man.
It's...
A witch gets wind of this and sends out some flying monkeys.
That's the bit I can't get my head around, because I get that she wants to go to the Wizard of Oz to go home, and they all want their bits, like the brain, the heart, and the bravery.
Courage,
thank you. And then they discover that it was in them all along. But I don't understand where the witch comes in. I don't understand how she gets back home. And I'm fairly confident that she sort of kills the witch when her house lands.
Yeah, the witch lands on the house.
But like, that's not her fault. The house, she wasn't controlling the house. She didn't
place the witch house on a witch. So that is the plot. I take back what I said. I know exactly what the plot is, and I understand it. But imagine all of that, but instead of Dorothy, it's Ellie G.
I love it. I really love it.
What's yours, John?
This one's from me, G.I. Joe Pasquale.
Oh, well, in the news recently.
Exactly. That's all. There was an excuse for us to talk about this.
Joe, that headline, BBC News tweeted a headline. Yeah, we need it verbatim because it's the most outrageous collection of words. And I actually want to blow the lid on this.
Oh. Joe Pasquale impaled in freak moose antler incident in Skegness.
Right. John, Pasquale's been out of the news for a long time. I think he's done it on purpose. I think he's impaled himself on a moose. Now, forgive my ignorance. There aren't moose in Skegness, right? It must be like an ornament. I reckon he's staying at like a country home in Skegness that's got them up on the mantle, the things they've caught, and he's just fallen into a moose's antler. Is that right? Or is he at a petting zoo? Is he like an extreme petting zoo?
At the end of the act, the curtains came away and all my props are strewn all over the stage, and they bring the lights down. As I'm starting to pull my props away, I literally trip over my moose head. Yeah, so it's...
What is that show?
Hey, you got to admit, you're right. That is good promo, because we all want to see that show now.
Unbelievable promo. Before that headline, I had no idea that Joe Pasquale was touring a show in places like Skegness, where for some reason there's a moose's head, which is he describes as one of my props. So who knows what the other props are? And now, John, I am well aware that Pasquale is touring a show. I think he's put himself in the line of danger in order to get the promotion.
Maybe.
I reckon even Skegness local radio were like, we're not doing this interview, Joe. I'm sorry, it's a bit boring. We don't need to fill the airtime that bad. He couldn't get on community radio. And so he went away, and with his show director, he was like, look, this show desperately needs some PR. What can I do? And lo and behold, he's tripped, fell, and landed on an antler.
7 stitches, though, so...
That's not as many stitches as the audience are going to need when they go and see that show. Come on. Right. John, would you pick a best film from this week?
As much as it frustrates me, I think Wicked Wicked is the winner this week.
That might be the first time I've ever won. But there was a period in the middle for about 3 years where we forgot to award any winners, so I might have had some good ideas then. Anyway, I do need to go because... I don't know. Joe Pasquale is running in with a head of an antler on. It's covered in blood. Well done, John.
Well done, Joe.
I feel like I was sort of in a delirious state when I did that episode of the podcast, so I'd like to apologise to the listeners because I don't really remember anything I said. Normally it takes me at least a day to forget what was on the episode, but I've forgotten it instantly.
For the listeners at home, we don't even, the amount of time you hear that like Glockenspiel music between the episode and the
sort of 2 days.
We literally, it's inststantaneous. So Joe go from like, whoa.
No, that's not fair. I give you a second.
Okay,
to put the music in.
I have a second, and then And then Joel starts talking like it's some man giving like a post-match analysis 10 minutes later.
It's good, isn't it? You're really blowing the lid on the gaff here. You're really ruining the magic. Cultural highlights?
I want to tell you about my newest obsession. Have you heard of a TikTok influencer called Coach Carnivore Cam?
No, but that sounds like exactly the sort of thing I need to hear. So is he the Liver King 2.0?
Yeah, pretty much. He's this British lad who...
Yeah, oh, is he blonde?
He's like a redhead.
Okay. Oh, I think I do know this guy. Is he the one that made like a roast dinner, but all the constituent parts were animals? Yeah, like his mashed potato?
The mashed potato was basically scrambled egg. And he scrambled it. He made scrambled egg and he puts it in a blender and he puts milk in the blender. And he goes, when it starts to look like mashed potato. And I'm like, what? Never. Yeah. Never. It doesn't ever
just
look like mashed potato.
Staring at the blender for a week while it whirs away.
Did you see his pizza?
There is, because there's an American guy as well that everyone's convinced it's bullshit, where he eats like, genuinely eats like a slab of Lurpak and five testicles, and that's for breakfast. These guys, I don't know what it is with these guys. It's like a raw meat movement.
Oh yeah, the guy with the raw testicles. This guy, Carnivore Cam cooks his meat, to be fair.
But I've seen Carnivore Cam do things like, I'm going to McDonald's with my mates, and he eats 10 Big Mac patties, and that's his McDonald's. The guy is, it's nuts.
Right. But let me tell you about this pizza, right? So the top...
Carnivore Cam.
You've got cheese. You've got... I think you've got cream. You've got bacon. You've got beef. The best bit is, how does he do a pizza dough? How does he do the base?
Well, we're all wondering.
He mixes egg and cooked chicken. The base of his pizza.
I can't even imagine that. It's like I don't know what you're saying.
It's like cooked crumbled chicken with egg mixed together and baked.
That is absolutely horrific. Oh God, would love to get him on as a guest.
I can guarantee you he has absolutely no chat at all. It would be silence for 25 minutes.
I'm into it. Welcome to the dream abattoir. Good stuff. I'm into it. I think Coach Cam, Coach Carnivore Cam. Why don't you do the Coach Carnivore Cam diet for a week, and I'll do the diet of that guy who's trying to live to 200 in his 40s, and we'll see how we feel.
Perfect. We'll see you on the other.
You know that guy?
I know that guy. I think we've discussed him before.
But more detail. I know more details about his life now, including the fact that he takes 111 tablets in the morning.
Yeah, I mean. And he stops eating at 11 a.m, right?
Yeah, I know. I'd sooner be hit by a bus. Which he might be, right? It might all be a waste of time. Cool. Okay, I saw Oppenheimer. It was great. Thanks for coming, guys. See you next week. Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Send the guys a movie idea. Tell your friends that you like the show. Follow us on social media. Then you'll be the best listener.